Last week we began a sermon series with the intent of leading people from feeling overwhelmed to overflowing with God's Spirit, because that's what God's Word says that we are to do and who we are to be when we're following Christ. And we identified that there are lots of people who are struggling right now with feelings of being overwhelmed. And that may describe you. And last week we used 2 Chronicles chapter 20 as an identification of a king, Jehoshaphat, who was struggling with some overwhelming circumstances. And if you look back over that story, if you go back and listen to that message, if you haven't heard it, you're going to have an opportunity to see that God actually offers peace before he delivers victory. And so rather than panic, and rather than seize control of the situation, here's what Jehoshaphat did. He sought the Lord, and the Lord offered him guidance and obvious deliverance in that situation. And I'm going to tell you this morning that if you are feeling overwhelmed, you need to consider how possibly you can better seek the Lord. But there are some other circumstances that you may be facing in your life that are causing you to be overwhelmed. And we want to move you from where you are right now to being overflowing with God's Spirit, which is where I believe God wants you to be. In order for that to happen, you have to be willing to unload some of the weight that you've been trying to carry yourselves and allow God to lead in your lives. So this morning we're going to continue our journey from feeling overwhelmed to becoming overflowing believers and Christians with a short yet powerful verse that we find nestled right in the middle of the Matthew Gospel. And so turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 11. We're going to look at verse 28 together because it's a fairly short verse. Many of you are very familiar with it, but I've asked the Holy Spirit to reveal some truth to each one of us today regarding the message that he would have for those who are feeling overwhelmed. Would you stand with me in the honor of reading God's Word together as we read this one verse? Look what it says. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Father, it doesn't appear on paper to be profound, and yet so many are weary and burdened. And so I ask that you speak to each one of us individually this morning regarding the possibility that we're not coming to you, because your promise is to give us rest when we do. So will you reveal your truth through your word to each one of us this morning so that we may find rest in the overwhelming circumstances that we face today? We ask for your divine intervention in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, I've heard it said many times growing up in the church that what we need to do is, when we're facing challenging circumstances, we need to turn to the Lord. And it's really, quite frankly, good advice, and there's other supporting scripture that tells us that that's a good idea. But I want you to see firsthand that that's not what this scripture says. It does not say turn to the Lord. And here's the reason that I believe that it doesn't. Because sometimes we turn to the Lord and ask him to weigh in on the circumstances. So we turn to the Lord and say, hey, you give me some advice, and you know, I've got some thoughts about this situation, and I've got some other people giving me some information that I'm going to consider, and I'm going to weigh all the options, and I'm going to choose what I think is best. This scripture does not say, just turn and listen. Jesus gives us a command here. It's very clear. We are to move. And if you're going to do some unpacking right now, you're going to have to unload some of the weight that you're carrying with the burdens that you are facing in this life. You can't carry them yourself, nor does God want you to, not if you want to find rest. And so look very specifically at what he says. Jesus says that you must go to him. So you don't stand where you are and say, option number one, God, thank you. Option number two, Rick, here's what I'm thinking. Option number three, friends and family, thank you. Shuffle the deck. I will choose this option and go this direction. No, you won't find rest in that. Can I just tell you? You may stumble on the right answer, but you're taking a pretty hefty chance there. The best answer is always God's direction and always God's leading. And it's found in seeking Him. But you can't just listen. You got to go to Him. Which really, quite frankly, means you've got to follow Him. There's really no other option there. When you come to Jesus, you don't come to weigh the options because you'll leave if you don't like what He's saying. No, you come to Jesus saying, what I'm doing is not working right now. And I recognize that. Or, I don't have the right answers. Because the decisions that I've made very possibly have led me to the dilemma that I'm facing right now. And when we come to Jesus, we give ourselves to Him. We move to Him in order to follow Him and seek His way of doing things. And that may sound a little bit like work, quite frankly, but Jesus says He will give us rest. We can move from where we are on our own towards Him, moving in a direction that says, I'm willing to listen and follow and obey what you're saying. And when we do that, here's His promise for you. He says that when you listen and obey and follow me, I will give you hope. I will give you wisdom. I will direct your path. I will give you strength. And encouragement comes in obedience to Christ. And we desperately need Him to fulfill the plan that I believe God has for every one of us. Now, you may be wondering, yeah, but who is Jesus calling in this verse? This verse may not be for me. Well, let's consider exactly who Jesus is addressing. Here's who He's not addressing. He's not saying, hey, when you get everything together and you got everything working well and you're in alignment with me, you give me a call and we'll hook up. That's not what He's saying. He's not saying when you're finally refreshed and revised, because really I can't use you right now. You're kind of a limp noodle. I need someone a little bit stronger than you. When you get your act together, you call me and move to me, and then we'll do something amazing together. That is not what He's saying either. Look very clearly at what He's saying. He's saying that when you are worn out and you are feeling the weight of the world on your shoulders, He's saying, you can come to me. I am the right option, but I'm an option for you now. So when you hear that, I'm thinking that maybe it's hard for you to imagine that simple step towards Him solves all your problems. We live in such a complicated world, and we're so technologically advanced, that how could this simple solution cure all of our ills? I mean, how could coming to Jesus solve all of our problems? After all, here we are. We're in church, right? So does that mean I've come to Jesus? I don't think so. I think you've come to seek Him, but you may not have come to Him. You may not have given yourself fully to Him yet. So you're coming and checking it out, but you may not lead and obey, right? And that's incorporated in coming to Jesus. In fact, when you look at this verse, it's very specific that He is speaking to anyone and everyone who are feeling weary because of their burdens. So make no mistake, for those who need to unpack some things right now, Jesus is saying it's for all who are weary and burdened. So you just answer the question, are you in that category? Are you weary and burdened by things that you're facing in this life right now? Jesus says, I'm talking to you. You may have heard this all of your life, as far back as you can remember. And let's just be perfectly honest this morning. We're watching other people who say they've placed their faith and trust in Jesus. And I'm just going to tell you, it's perfectly fair for you to say, I'm watching them, and their lives look just as complicated as mine do. Mine does. I don't see deliverance each and every time in their life. I don't see a difference in their life from mine. And I'm going to suggest to you this morning that you not make the mistake of believing that your life in Jesus means that you won't face any hardship. Because I don't believe that that's true. We've talked about that many times. It means that when you do face hardship, you can come to Him and ask for His help, and He will give it. That's His promise. We can come to Him saying, I need you. I need your strength. I need your guidance. I need your wisdom. I need your forgiveness, Lord. I need you. And he will say, you've come to the right place. I'll take this. Give it to me. We've been taught that we should trust in God. But being honest again, I don't think we've done such a great job in trusting in him. We believe that we can trust him. God's trustworthy. But if we really trusted in him, we would hand those things off. We would say, I don't know how to handle this, and you do, and I need your guidance. And I want what you want in my life. We don't do such a good job of that, not very often. When you face hardship, you turn to him and you trust in him by giving that challenge to him and asking him for guidance. And when we trust him and you ask him for help, God says he'll always, always be there. So let me ask you this morning, are you carrying a burden? And are you weary from it? Are you dealing with a situation that has caused so much strife and so much anguish and so much disappointment that it has now moved into being a fatiguing situation for you? Because if you have faith in God, the Bible tells us that if you come to him when you're burdened and weary, he will give you rest. I want you to hear this clearly this morning, so I'll be very specific. The one thing that Matthew 11:28 and my message to you this morning have in common is that both of them are not only talking to the person that you're sitting next to. They're talking to you. They're addressing your situation. And it'd be really good if you're weary and burdened to listen to what God is saying to you this morning so that you don't have to leave here in the same condition that you came in. If you really believe, and you will automatically become strengthened by his spirit because of your faith in him. Now, it doesn't mean that the situation necessarily changes immediately. It means we change. We become stronger. Our faith in God enables us to handle any circumstance that we face, which, by the way, God allows us to face because he's in full control of everything that happens, even the mistakes that we make in life. So faith is a pretty simple concept, and most of us just go, yeah, I got it. I've got it. I believe. Let me just say this to you this morning. I don't think there's any in-between when it comes to faith. I don't think you can kind of believe, because that's not faith. Faith means I believe, and I have confidence in God. So I don't think there's any fence setting here. I don't think you can move from, yeah, I believe, to, I'm not so sure I believe, to, I'm not so sure I believe in this situation. You either believe or you don't. Now, make no mistake. Faith can grow. It can and does become stronger. But I believe that it hinges on belief and trust. And it is established by letting go of control. Many times we feel like we have to do all the time. And while we work so very hard at doing, we fail to seek God's direction because we're too busy to listen. While we're working long hours every day and we're not getting much sleep at night, quite frankly, because we're anxious and we're worried, we wake up the next day fatigued and we say, God, where are you in this? Why am I so tired? Why am I so lonely? Why am I so distraught? And God said, because you haven't given it to me. You're still carrying it. You gave it to me and you won't feel that way. You'll rest better. You'll work from a more stronger perspective because you trust me with the situation that you're facing. And so when you're doing that, you realize that you're tired and you're weary because you are carrying the burden. Christ calls to you this morning, all who are weary and burdened. And you can find rest, not in doing, but by resting in your covenant relationship with Jesus Christ. In some ways, I think some of us have become hoarders of misery. You've probably heard the phrase hoarders before. There's a TV series about groups of people who have an incredibly difficult time of getting rid of anything. And so this TV series walks us into their home where we see things that are stacked from the floor to the ceiling, and there are pathways and trails to get to different rooms in these houses because these people struggle with getting rid of anything in their life. And it really speaks of a condition of insecurity. There are some other underlying problems outside of the fact that they don't want to throw anything away. And so experts come into their lives and they say, number one, it's not healthy for you to live this way. You're not living in a clean environment, because those of you who clean, like me, the house on a weekly basis, you're going to recognize that. Just waiting for, I could feel my wife staring at me right now. You recognize that it's really hard to clean when there's a lot of clutter around, and so you got to move things, and if there's nowhere to move things, you don't move things, right? So it's unhealthy for them to live that way, but it's also an unhealthy state of mind. There's something to those people who can't let anything go, especially when you and I look at it and go, I think it's junk. I don't think you need to keep it anymore. There's not any value. And so these experts come in and they deal not just with the physical problem of clearing out. The ultimate goal is to clean up, you know, their livelihoods and their lifestyles. And they want to work on the inside condition of why they feel like they have to hang on to those things. Can I tell you that I think that is a wonderful analogy to what many of us do? We feel like we've got to hang on to misery. We've got to hang on to some of our struggles because somehow that makes us feel alive. That we're struggling. Life is hard. And it gives us something to share with other people. And Jesus clearly says, you do not have to carry that stuff. In fact, it's interesting. Psalm 55:22 tells us to cast your cares on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. Now, Lyndon Cove is a fisherman, and he's a very good fisherman, and his cast is far better than mine. I if we got in a casting battle, Lyndon, you would outcast me 100% of the time. I know that. But let me tell you what I've learned from what Lyndon does. Lyndon throws his lure out there far away from him, and when he brings it back, he doesn't keep it very long. He throws it out again. The goal is not for him to have it. When you cast your care upon Jesus, you're not supposed to bring it back. You're giving it to Him. You don't have to carry it anymore. So if you do that, now let me ask you, I know this sounds logical, but it's difficult to comprehend. If you cast your care upon Him and you give it to Him and He takes the lure and He's got it, why would you want it back? Why are you struggling with the thing that you gave Him? Why will some of you leave this service today and worry about the same things that you were worried about when you came? When God clearly says, come to Him, all of you who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. Cast your cares upon Me, because God will never let the righteous fall. He will never let you fall. He will catch you 100% of the time. And you are righteous because of what Christ did for you on the cross. There's no losing in this. Give Him your burdens and worries. And somehow, we still think that we're on our own and we've got to do something ourselves that will change our circumstances. And we think we need to work it all out before we change. But that's not what this scripture tells us. All we have to do is trust God and give our burdens to Him. And the only work involved is doing what He says we need to do, and that is unpack these burdens. So what burdens are you carrying this morning? What are your burdens and worries, your B&Ws, I'm going to call them this morning? Are you weary and burdened by your decisions? Are you having to make some decisions right now that are weighing heavily on you? Before becoming a pastor, Cindy and I had businesses. And I would ask Cindy, she was our accountant, so I would ask Cindy, hey, when situations don't look good, let me know so I can jump in there and do something special to turn things around. And I honestly believe that I could do that. I'm admitting that to you this morning. And sometimes I was able to do that, and often I wasn't. And the amazing thing about that is I would just tell her, you got to give me as much advance notice as I can. The more time I have, the better chances I have of turning this thing around. And when I look back over those business years, I realize that there were times that we had some success, and quite frankly, there was some time that we had some failure. But I realize now that God was teaching me far more about Him and who He wanted me to be than He was about business during those years. God was teaching me to learn to lean on Him and trust in Him. And I learned probably more from my failures than I ever did by my successes. And I look back over those years now and I realize that it wasn't about becoming a profitable businessman. And most of us who are in business, we understand that the bottom line is the ultimate goal. You know, we want to make a profit. And I realize now, looking back, being just as honest as I can with you today, that it was never about that with me and God. Those years were teaching and training opportunities for me to learn how to trust in Him. And I'm going to tell you, the times that I messed it up and I made poor decisions, if and when I turned to Him, guess what? He fixed it. He straightened it out. Sometimes not overnight, often through some hardship and some trial. And Cindy will tell you, if I let her come up here, that we learned some very painful lessons while God was getting my attention to depend more fully on Him and to seek His ways before we made those decisions. And one of the great things that I took away from those years was learning to trust in God and teach and train other people to be empowered by Him. And there's a wonderful demonstration of that in the Bible. Just before Moses receives the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, he's actually facing a fairly challenging situation because he's got this great ongoing relationship with the Lord. He's hearing directly from God, and all of God's people know that he's hearing from Him. And so the Bible talks about a period of time where he's sitting on this chair and this long line forms in front of him way, way back. And the Bible identifies that he is making decisions from morning until night. And his father-in-law sees this situation. And Exodus 18, verse 14 tells us what he asks. He says, "What is this you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge while all these people stand around you from morning till evening?" And the Bible explains that Moses pulls him aside. He says, "Listen, I've got this great ongoing relationship with God, and I'm kind of His mouthpiece, and He's speaking directly to me, to His people, and so I think this is what I'm supposed to do." And look what Jethro tells his son-in-law. He says in Exodus 17 and 18, "What you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone." And Jethro goes on to explain to his people that the best way that he can lead his people is by identifying how they individually can follow the Lord. And when situations get very stressful and they're very dire, certainly the people can come to him. But not to answer and handle every dilemma that they're facing. It'd be better to disciple them and to teach them and to train them the ways of the Lord so that they can follow the Lord themselves. So this is the key to that. Understand that you were given an opportunity to show others how you follow the Lord. And hopefully they will learn more from that than by your instruction. Your actions will speak louder than your words. Second dilemma that you're facing. Are you weary and burdened by your past? I know so many people who carry far more weight and responsibility from things that have happened in their past than they have to. And it's not uncommon to carry burdens from our past, thinking that we will always have to deal with past failures. But I'm telling you this morning, and I know you've heard this before, Jesus came to remove you from your burdens of the past. And there may be some here today who aren't feeling like they are free from their past. Maybe you did something wrong, or you're ashamed of it, and something that you've done, you wish you could go back and undo it. Others may have been the victims of wrongful acts done to them, and you still carry the shame and the scars from those memories. I want to lead you to the story of the adulterous woman. You remember that story. She's caught in the act of adultery. And I want to point out one very important point to that. During biblical days, during this time that she's caught, adultery is punishable by death. So people who committed the act knew the potential consequence. And it was dire. Much more dire than it is today, quite frankly, even though God deals with that sin. Back then, if you were caught by more than one person, it had to be by two or more, then, and you were accused, you would be stoned to death.
And so the Bible talks about this woman that's caught in adultery, and these men bring them to Jesus, and the Bible identifies the situation as an opportunity where they want to trap Jesus into making a decision. You're going to follow the law that we have of the land, or you're going to break the law, which would then allow us to punish you and accuse you because you're disobeying the law. So they bring them, and they're gathering their stones, and a lynch mob is forming behind them, and they bring the woman to the man, to Jesus, and they say, "What would you do to her? Because the law says that she should die." Now, here's what we don't know about that woman. None of us know for sure whether she was a prostitute and she was engaged in this sinful act on an ongoing basis, or whether she was trapped and somehow they set her up and you know, they connived a way that she would be accused, potentially even wrongfully, of doing this, even though they claim to have caught her. We don't know that for certain. And we find Jesus kind of drawing in the sand, and he looks up and he says, "Which one of you have never sinned? Have at it. Whoever here has not done any wrong, you go ahead and stone him." And the amazing thing that I want you to hear this morning is that the Bible records that period of time as people turning and walking away, all of them, because all of them had fallen short of the glory of God. And for those of you that are carrying past burdens and past weights about past failures that maybe you've committed or that were committed against you, can I just tell you right now, this is what Jesus Christ said to that woman in John 8, verses 10 and 11. He says, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you. And this is what I say to you this morning. Go now. Leave this situation behind and sin no more." You leave your life of sin. God gives you the power to overcome that. Admit that you've made a mistake. Turn away from the mistake and come to me. Follow me. That's the message that Jesus gave this woman. If you are weary and burdened by the things that you've done in your past or the things that have been done to you, come to Jesus. Be forgiven and be set free, and God will give you direction and strength, and stop making the same mistakes, falling into the same traps, because he won't lead you back there. Third question. Are you weary and burdened by your schedule? There's a difference between being busy and being productive. And we often associate being busy with success. In fact, it's not unusual for people to say, "How are things going for you?" And we'll say, "Busy, busy, busy." And people will go, "Yeah, that's a good thing." So I'm going to make a statement to you this morning that may surprise you. I'm going to tell you that being busy is foolish if we are consumed by things that matter little to God. Being busy does not mean that you're being productive in this life. In fact, 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." You don't have to be so busy that you become anxious. You do not have to look like your head is spinning so that people think, "Wow, you are just incredibly productive." No, seek the Lord. In fact, I'm going to tell you this morning that many of us are so busy with what we think we're supposed to do that we miss the exact thing that God wants us to do, and that is to take some time to be alone with him. I can't tell you the number of people that say, "How do I fit that into my schedule?" And for me, it's a little bit like giving. Giving comes first for us. That's the first check that we write because we feel led to give. Well, being alone with the Lord comes first in our schedule. We all have to carve time out so that we can successfully manage the rest of our day through the power that God gives us when we look to him and ask for his order and direction. And he wants to have an ongoing close relationship with you. And it can be worry-free because he knows what you're facing before you face it. So he can speak to the issues that you're going to be facing if you take time and listen and seek him. But don't misunderstand this. The process of not being too busy doesn't end there. It's not about being unproductive. Don't mistake receiving rest as meaning that you're not supposed to do anything. You're just supposed to sit back and rest. No. Unpacking involves a statement that I think is very, very important for many others to hear. Inactivity does not lead to rest. It doesn't mean do nothing. It doesn't mean to veg out on the couch in front of the TV, although periods, short periods of time like that may be good, like this afternoon when the two playoff games are going. That may not be a bad time for some of us to veg out in front of the TV. In fact, the Lord may be speaking to us right now about that. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that's a possibility. But He is saying that we need to be doing something. And God leads us to do things that sometimes we don't always want to do. And He's talking about showing you what He's planned for you to do by seeking Him, so that we don't have to struggle the whole way going, why is this so hard? Because God shows us and then He enables us to do the things that He's calling us to do. And one of the challenges that you may be facing has resulted from being weary and being burdened, and you've been caused a lot of anguish and fatigue because you're not doing the things God wants you to do. You're doing everything else, and you're exhausted, but you're not doing the things God's calling you to do. His blessing comes when you walk in obedience to Him, and when you follow what He wants you to do. Not what He wants others to do, but what He wants you to do. Seeking God and knowing and doing what He would have you to do is an important part of the formula of finding rest. And the plan that Jesus has for your life, the plan that involves Him lifting weariness and burdens, is incorporated with you finding rest and peace when you overcome the challenges that He's leading you to overcome because you're doing what He's calling you to do. Here's a great illustration. Many of you have probably never heard of Charlotte Elliott. And Charlotte Elliott led a very normal life until she was about 30 years old. And at 30 years of age, she faced a very dilapidating illness. And it became so bad and so pronounced in her life that she became despondent, wanting to die rather than continue to live and face hardship in this illness. And a popular evangelist came to visit Charlotte. And during that visit, he told her what she thought was just an incredibly profound statement. He said that the Lord would take her just as she was. And Charlotte thought about that for a moment. And she realized that God was not wanting her to change in order for her to be useful to Him. God was taking her just as she was. And at that day, Charlotte Elliott gave her life to Him. And for 14 years, she prayed and thought about what that statement meant to her life and the impact that it made on her life, to the point that she began to write the hymn that most of you are familiar with now, called Just As I Am. Charlotte lived to be 82 years old, and she never regained her full health. And some wondered why God would allow her to continue to go through such affliction after giving her heart and her life fully to Him. And she once wrote of this affliction. She said this, "He knows, and He alone, what it is to fight overpowering weakness and exhaustion, to not give in to slothfulness, depression, and instability." You see, Charlotte knew rest once she came to Jesus. And there would be a temptation to wonder, if God really does care, why wouldn't He heal her? But God had a plan that went beyond her dreams or desire for a healthier state of being. Because after Charlotte Elliott fought the good fight and later went to be with the Lord, they found thousands of letters telling of how that hymn, that one song, had so profoundly impacted their lives. I want you to listen to just one verse of the song that she wrote called Just As I Am. "Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within and without, O Lamb of God, I come. I come." God has an incredible way to shine through any setback, any handicap, any dilemma that we face. And sometimes, without having to even remove it, He can transform us and transform a situation that appears to be a burden into a means of bringing Him incredible glory and changing other people's lives. You see, that's what our transformation is really all about. It's about becoming focused on being used by God to bring Him glory. Once we place all of our faith and all of our trust in God and on His Son, Jesus Christ, and we truly believe in who He is, our labor becomes focused on being available to Him and to be used by Him as His light shines brightly through us. And when we come to Jesus, anything and everything we do reflects on Him. We show others faith and hope and love and perseverance through the peace that comes from within us through the indwelling of His Holy Spirit. We identify our hope in Christ and that we are His, and we're not ashamed of it. It is our goal to affect those around us with His Spirit guiding, the Spirit of moving us from bad to good, from sinners to saints, from being grown-ups to being children of God. Unpacking means that we've got to make wise choices. God gives us opportunity to freely choose His way and His direction, or ours. And each of us face making choices every day. Big decisions in life, as well as little decisions and choices. And they all work together in lining up a path that we're choosing to take. And those choices will affect the people that we encounter, as well as the people that we become. And that's why it's so important to carefully and prayerfully consider everything that we say yes to, and everything that we're saying no to as well. God is very interested in the development of your personality, in your talent, and in your future. And that means that He's very interested in the choices that He allows you to make. However, God will not make all the decisions for you. In fact, He often responds to us by the choices that we make. He loves you dearly, but He allows you to determine the path and the direction that you choose to go. And sometimes it's clear what He wants us to do, and other times it's not as clear. And we may wonder if He wants us to make a big purchase, or change jobs, or maybe buy a new house and move. Following the Lord sounds good, but it isn't always easy. And when we get away from the plan that He has for our lives, we often choose what we want rather than what He wants for us. And that's when we often find ourselves in situations that may be difficult to get out of. David offers some great advice to his son Solomon about doing his part in seeking God's direction. Listen to 1 Chronicles 28:9. It says, "And you, my son Solomon, acknowledge the God of your father and serve Him with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind, for the Lord searches every heart and understands every motive behind the thoughts. If you seek Him, He will be found by you. But if you forsake Him, He will reject you forever." I know that sounds harsh, but I will tell you it's really cut and dry. If we seek God with our whole hearts and with our whole strength and with all the power that He gives us to seek Him, the Bible tells us that we will find Him. God will make Himself known to us. And as we grow, occasionally God steps back, I believe, and lets us make decisions, hoping that what we've learned from Him will impact the decisions that we make. Look at Psalms 14:2. It tells us, "The Lord looks down from heaven on the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God." So analyze what you're carrying right now as a burden that you're weary from, and allow God to show you what He would have you to do with it, and humble yourself before Him, and admit that doing nothing really is not the answer. In fact, You're not going to find rest in doing nothing, because it won't offer you contentment in the Lord. Doing what God has created you to do is the right answer. But be very careful about unpacking anything that God is leading you to do because it's hard. Don't just get rid of all the hard stuff, because some of that is the stuff God's teaching you through, that He's leading you to become even greater in His kingdom later. In fact, look at Matthew 20, verse 26 through 28. It says, "Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many." What Jesus is telling us there is that He's calling all of us who follow Christ to be servants. And some of us who are burdened and weary are giving up our servanthood because we're tired. So we're saying, "Okay, Lord, I'm going to get rid of some clutter. I see that I said yes to too much." And rather than saying, "What are you leading me to give up?" we're going, "I'm going to give up this and that and that. I still have to do this because it pays my mortgage, and I still have to do this because I'm a dad, and I still have to do this because I'm a husband." And I'm not telling you that those aren't the things that God's telling you to do. I'm saying you better be careful about what you're going to unpack when you leave here, because God's calling you to be a servant to others. And that's not always an easy thing to do. Jesus demonstrated perfectly how you can serve and be one with the Father. And I love what Paul says about that relationship. In Philippians 2, verses 6 and 7, he says, "Who, being the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness." In spite of the fact that Jesus is God, He chooses to serve. And Jesus continues to serve as He sits at the right hand of the throne of God, interceding for you and I right now. When Jesus came in the form of a servant, He was revealing who God is and who God is calling us to be. But we can't do it alone. My son recently asked me, growing up, who my favorite superhero is. And I knew the right answer, so I told him Jesus. You know, I knew that that was the right answer, but I'm going to be honest with you this morning. When I was growing up, I kind of wanted to be Superman. Superman had this incredible strength, and he was always helping people, you know. And I thought to myself, even as a child, you know, Superman was disconnected from his mother and father, moved to a foreign world, and he wasn't needing analysis. You know, he wasn't needing therapy. And he was pretty safe about who he was, because anyone who could wear a blue leotard and a red cape underneath his clothing must have been okay, you know, in his masculinity. And growing up, I just thought, wouldn't it be cool to be able to bend steel and have X-ray vision to see any evil that's lurking anywhere else? And when I was needed, I could fly there and be there in just a second to help anybody. And I'm saying to you this morning that some of us have grown up to become adults trying to be supermen and superwomen, so we try to look smarter or prettier or maybe more spiritual than we really are. And we try to do things that we shouldn't or can't on our own, and we load ourselves with burdens and we become weary. But there is a better way to help those around us, and we don't have to carry those burdens when we do it the right way. You see, the reason Jesus calls us to serve others isn't just to help others who are in need, but rather to help ourselves become who God has made us to be. We can embrace our limitations. We can unpack all the baggage from our past and all the things we needn't be doing, and relax. Simply being who the Lord is calling us to be and being obedient to what He calls us to do. And when we get tired, we can even minister out of our weakness, because He will be strong. We exist to love God and to love others. Not because they need us to, but because when we're not contributing to the welfare of others, we're not being who God has created us to be. We're overwhelmed because we're pretending to be someone we're not rather than just being who God has already said that we are. And we are called to be exactly what each one of us knows that we are deep down inside. We are a society of sinners saved by grace, directing others to Him. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank You right now for the message of unpacking. I thank You for Matthew 11:28 that calls to all who are weary and burdened. And the response is that if you come to Me, Lord, You will give them rest. And my heart's desire as a pastor who You've called me to be today is for no one to leave weary or burdened. And so right now, Holy Spirit, I'm going to ask You to minister to Your people and to guide and direct them in a way so that they can leave here changed. And in whatever way, God, You choose for us to follow Your lead in releasing the burdens that we are carrying, God, I pray the result would be rest and confidence in You. So, Lord, You do Your work in Your people's hearts right now. I'm going to ask You this morning to examine your own life and to consider maybe how God's leading you to respond to the unpacking principle. That maybe some of the anxiety and the stress and the worry and the weight, the fatigue that caused your health to fail, your mental and emotional state to become less than what God would want it to be. And I want you to experience this morning the fullness of Christ, because He keeps His promises 100% of the time. You know, I wonder how many of you have secrets that maybe no one else knows in this room that have impacted you in such a way that you're just not whole right now. God says, release them to Him and He'll give you rest. You can be changed. Some of you are struggling with decisions that you've made or that you're having to make. Some of you are struggling because of your schedule that we talked about. And some of you are just struggling and you don't know why. Don't hold on to it anymore. I want to move you from being overwhelmed to overflowing. And that's what God's will is for your life. So I'm going to challenge you with this. Now that you've heard what I believe is God's message for you, you're here, it's not a mistake, and you've heard, I believe, His message, He now gives you the choice. Will you choose to leave here burdened, or will you leave here changed and released so that you can rest? And so I'm just going to tell you to respond in whatever fashion the Holy Spirit leads you to. If you choose to pray from where you are at your pew and say, God, I'm giving this to You, I praise God for that. If you choose to come to this altar and kneel before Him and say, God, I give this to You, I lay this at Your feet, and this is a symbol of His throne room to you, then you do that. You do exactly that. If you need someone to pray with you about that, Pastor Terry is here and Darren is here. We have others here that would love to pray with you. If you want someone to intercede on your behalf, we'd be honored to do that. But don't leave here with burdens. Because if you do, you will be weary. And that's not God's plan for your life. So you respond in the way that God's calling you to. Will you all stand with me this morning as we close out our time together? Father, right now, will You minister to Your people in the way that only You can and give them the strength and the wisdom to obey what You're leading them to do right now? We ask and pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. You respond as God calls right now.